and you think you've got something to worry about in life. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principle and Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
Great to talk to you again, Barry. It's good to be back in the studio again.
It's good to be with you, Chuck. Yesterday we were talking and started talking about the PRISM program. That's PRISM, P-R-I-S-M, as in the object that breaks up white light into its constituent parts. But we were talking about what the government is doing with their PRISM program, which is where they're taking disparate parts, i.e. the individual colors of the spectrum of your personal information, whether it be your mail that you send, the phone calls and texts that you send and receive on your phone, the searches you do on Google, the friends you have, and the things that you post on Facebook. Chuck, it's beyond belief, but our government is, in the interest of quote-unquote homeland security, basically spying on each and every one of us in a particularly intrusive way. Now, supposedly, and we can rest assured because our president has told us, that no phone calls have been listened into. However, right after he got done saying that, the NSA admitted that they had accidentally tapped certain phones that they shouldn't have tapped.
Well, accidentally.
But
Barry, do you really buy that that was an accident?
Well, sure, Chuck. Of course I buy it. Why would our government lie to us?
Yes, I have some swampland you might be interested in.
If I can borrow money today for a hamburger, I will gladly repay you on Tuesday. It's the wimpy approach. But no, but Chuck, regardless of all that, and the other program, you with Camp American and I with the Institute for Principal Policy, and the fact that, yes, we were being targeted by the IRS because we're a group that teaches the Constitution through Institute on the Constitution. All of that being said, we don't have anywhere near the worries right now as one other American citizen does. And that American citizen's name is Edward Snowden. Now, most of our listeners have no earthly idea who Edward Snowden is. And that's okay. As a matter of fact, I think, in one sense, he may have kind of wished it would have stayed that way, but it didn't. And Edward Snowden, who's a 29-year-old American citizen, and was a employee for defense contractor Booz Allen Hamilton, is the individual responsible for letting the cat out of the bag and reporting, being a whistleblower against the NSA. Because, and he used to be a former technical assistant for the CIA. Now, Chuck, I think what he did was he just got to the point where it got to be too much for him, and he decided, I got to let somebody know about this. Well, now Snowden is, well, I won't say in hiding, but he has ensconced himself in Hong Kong and has been giving interviews to the UK newspaper The Guardian. Now, he's revealing his identity because I think he figures if he comes forward and says who he is before they send a hit squad out after him, then it'll be much harder for them to take him out without anybody knowing about it.
Well, there's a lot of interesting stuff in this article that we're going to post a link to, which is an interview in The Guardian. And again, as we said, American news media is not getting the job done. Don't let anybody kid you. They are outrunning interference for Barack Obama, although the interference is, shall we say, getting a little thin these days after it became clear that the AP and other news organizations, including Fox News and I think CNN, if not more, have been also under scrutiny and having their phones tapped and their phone records seized. This young man strikes me as someone who, well, he's got guts. Let's put it this way. He is saying directly, quote, here's a quote, "I understand that I will be made to suffer for my actions, but I will be satisfied if the federation of secret law, unequal pardon, and irresistible executive powers that rule the world that I love are revealed even for an instant." This is a 29-year-old man. This is also a man who said he believed at one point in Barack Obama's promises. This is someone who has had their eyes pried open, not someone who is happy-go-lucky, normal 29-year-old who's out. He has been privy to what's going on, and it frightens him. It's obvious that it frightens him, and what's very brave about this, he says that he doesn't expect ever to be able to return home.
Right.
Let me ask you a question. Could you do something like this if it meant you could never come home again?
I tell you what, Chuck, it would have to mean that whatever was happening was so egregious and needed to be known by the general public in order for me to trade not ever coming home again.
Now, whatever you think of this man, well, people have already come out. Max Boot, a lot of people out there won't know who Max Boot is, but he's an ultra neocon writer who really just writes the worst form of warmongering drivel.
Yes, it's a good way to put it.
Yeah, has basically come out and attempted to excoriate this man. See, it's all about him. It's all about him getting attention. And I think pretty clearly this young man, it's not about attention. It's about what he sees and what he's afraid of. Max Boot, of course, isn't afraid of anything because he thinks this is good. He wants to live in a society where security is far above liberty. Clearly, this young man would like to live in a society where your liberty outweighs security. And in fact, there is a balance to be drawn, but boy, the balance these days, Barry, is way more towards quote-unquote security, which really isn't, let's call it what it is. It's toward dictatorship.
Yes.
It's toward the idea that somehow the executive is some kind of enlightened individual. In fact, it's really a Gnostic view of government, if you will. It's the idea that somehow the more enlightened people at the top should be able to stomp out your rights at will in order to protect you, in order to bring you freedom and safety, quote-unquote freedom. Let's talk about that freedom versus liberty issue for a second, because it's an important distinction. The Columbus Zoo, I don't know if it's still there or not. I haven't been there in years, but the cheetah used to be in a great big enclosure. And the way you looked at the cheetah was you'd walk up a set of stairs and there was kind of a gondola that went out over the top. And you were out 15, 20 feet up above where the cheetah was in this huge enclosure. Well, the fact is that cheetah had a huge enclosure so he could run. Now, did the cheetah run much? Well, never when I was there. He's usually laying in the shade panting. But that cheetah had all the freedom he could use inside his enclosure, but he didn't have liberty. Now, why didn't he have liberty? Because he wasn't in his natural habitat.
He wasn't in his natural environment.
And the fact is, Barry, that what is happening is people are being hoodwinked into wanting freedom. And that freedom is supposedly freedom from fear, freedom from the possibility of danger, freedom from want, all these freedom froms. Well, what you trade for those freedoms is your liberty.
That's correct.
The fact is, in a society that is centered on liberty, there's danger. The fact is that a risk comes with liberty at all times. Now, the question is, where's the balance? How much liberty do you get? We don't want it to become a libertarian society where everybody does what's right in his own eyes. That's not what we're talking about.
Right.
But we want to be like the cheetah. We don't want to be in a cage where we have all the freedom to move around we want. We want to be in our natural environment, which is free to do what we want without surveillance within the bounds of God's law. And there's the bottom line, because this is the furthest thing from the idea of God's libertarian freedom than you can get. In fact, the federal government wants to be able to dictate and control liberty in a godlike fashion. And that's really what we're, maybe I've gone a little far afield here, but this young man Snowden may not get it from that perspective, but he has a piece of it, I think. I think it's interesting that he doesn't fear the consequences of going public, only that doing so will distract attention from the issues raised by his disclosures. I know the media likes to personalize political debates, and I know the government will demonize me. That's exactly what Max Boot is doing. Boot is attempting to demonize this Snowden fellow in order to control the debate. We will post this as well. It's called NSA Leaker is No Hero, and it's in Commentary Magazine. Boot basically attempts to make the case this is all about Snowden. He wants to be in the limelight. He wants to be counted among one of those whistleblowers who brings down governments and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, Chuck, because in the interview with Snowden, he says that he worked in the CIA and they had stationed him in Geneva, and he saw firsthand how they turned people to become recruits for the CIA or, you know, to get information from them, and he didn't like it. But then in 2008, Barack Obama was elected president, and he was hopeful that there would be reforms in their practices. But then he says in 2009, he was watching and he saw that Obama was advancing the very policies that he thought would be reined in. And he finally learned that, well, I can't wait around for someone else to act. And so he spent the next 3 years finding out how much of the surveillance activity the NSA was about. And his claim is, quote, they are intent on making every conversation and every form of behavior in the world known to them. Chuck, that's kind of broad and bold statement, and maybe Snowden's engaging in some hyperbole, but from what's been coming out and some of the NSA admissions, it seems like that's exactly what they're trying to do. Is they are trying to capture the communications and the informations of every person on the face of the planet.
Well, here's a problem with that, Barry. How do you sort through that? Now, I do 2 or 3 texts a day. I make phone calls all day long to clients, to customers, to suppliers. You and I exchange phone calls all the time. We record this radio show that goes out over the internet. I surf websites looking for all kinds of things, news, what other commentators are saying, what my competitors are doing, all kinds of things. How do you sort through that? I'm sure they have algorithms to look for certain types of contacts and that kind of thing. But what's to stop them if someone's got an issue with, well, if they've got some kind of an addiction to something on the internet? Gambling, for instance. Would that play into the picture, or would they use that as a form of blackmail?
I would probably vote on the latter being the case.
Yeah, because if you become an opponent of the government, suddenly you may find yourself being psychologically profiled through the internet records that they really have no rights to. And your telephone records that they really have no right to, unless they can prove that you've committed a crime. That's where we are with this. And this is what's frightening, Barry. Basically, people are having themselves profiled. And I've always been very frightened of, I hear all these wonders of doing profiling. And there's a show on TV that my wife used to like, and I said, I can't stand this program. Criminal Minds was the one that she liked. And I said, these people really believe, A, that they can predict behavior based on a psychological profile, and that something should be done as a preventative measure based on a profile, which means you'd have to gather prior information. In other words, in order to stop a crime from happening, there's a movie called Minority Report. The government uses psychological profiling to predict that you're going to commit a crime, and actually you are arrested before you can commit a crime based on this psychological profile that the government gets through surveillance. Now, I don't want to get too paranoid about that, but the fact is, Barry, that's exactly what we're talking about. They want to create psychological profiles so we can stop things from happening. Well, again, that gets back to the statement I made about being godlike.
Yep.
Only God knows what you're going to do. And the government would like very much to become like God.
And they're not missing it by much, because if they can tap in and maybe do in real time every conversation, every search, every phone call, every library book checked out that everybody's ever done, Chuck, they're well on their way.
Well, they're at least on the way to what, again, psychology and psychiatry are. Well, my dad always used to say that psychiatry was the disease that it sought to cure. In other words, insanity.
Yeah,
and psychology is not an exact science, despite what everybody in behaviorism are, especially not an exact science, despite what these guys want you to think. So I'm with this Snowden guy. I may not agree with everything he's done, but I think he's exceedingly brave.
Oh, I agree.
And he will get asylum someplace, but he may never be able to come back to the United States, except to face... He may end up in Guantanamo Bay if they can catch him.
Well, and what he says is he understands that, but he said one of the things that he did differently than somebody like Corporal Manning did or others was that he says, quote, I carefully evaluated every single document I disclosed to ensure that each was legitimately in the public interest. He said there are all sorts of documents that would have made a big impact that I didn't turn over. Because harming people isn't my goal. Transparency is.
Yeah, so there you go.
He has other documents that will name names. He just sent a warning to the Obama administration not to start playing dirty with them.
And Barry, this should be the motto of every American who knows anything like this. You can't wait around for someone else to act.
And that's exactly what he got down to. He had to be the one to do it because nobody else is going to.
And this is a quote from his interview. Well, with that, being said, we are out of time. Please join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.